Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Carrie K.B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, June the 12th, 2020, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 11, page 162 in A Vision for You, starting with the first paragraph, beginning with every few days, and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph. It ends with this helpful interchange. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph, as I mentioned, and today's readers are Lorraine N. for the 12 Steps, Pam M. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Jordan L., Julie E. B., Penny L. C. And our newcomer greeter today is Colleen M., and Janice P. M. will be doing our announcements, and Lynn S. is recording us. Thank you all for your service this morning. Our share ID for yesterday, Thursday, June the 11th, 2020, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 14,795. That's 14795. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, June 12th, 2020, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 14,799. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Lorraine N. to read our 12 steps. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. Now pass.
And thank you, Lorraine N., for being of service. And now we're going to hear from Pam M. for our 12 Traditions of OA. Good morning, Pam. Mm.
Blessed morning, everyone. Pam M. in upstate New York. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Pam, for your service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the speaker should be muted. That does include your personal mute button on your phone. Please don't use that and use the star 1 to mute and unmute. We appreciate that. That way we'll have a nice quiet meeting. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 162, the first paragraph, every few days, and it ends with helpful interchange. And we're going to be commenting on that one paragraph only. So today we have Jordan L. to get us started to read. Good morning, Jordan. Star 1 to unmute, Jordan.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Jordan.
My name's Jordan now. Can you hear me okay? I think you can. My name's Jordan now. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. Grateful to be on the line this morning with you guys. So every few days, this doctor suggests our approach to one of his patients. Understanding our work, he can do this with an eye to selecting those who are willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis. Many of us, former patients, go there to help. Then, in this eastern city, there are informal meetings, such as we have described to you, where you may now see scores of members. There are the same fast friendships. There's the same helpfulness to one another as we find among our Western friends. There is a good bit of travel between East and West, and we foresee a great increase in this helpful interchange. The first thing that kind of struck me this morning was the recover on a spiritual basis, right? The willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis. Because it is. It's a very different medicine than what we're used to. Like especially in Western cultures and stuff, you know? A very different medicine. So being willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis it's important, right? it's important that's where I'm at when I get here, especially when my thinking is telling me all I really need to do is lose some weight. Like, all I really need to do is lose some weight and I'll be just fine, you know? Because it does. If you're going to recover on a spiritual basis, it takes a certain amount of willingness to do things that I wasn't used to doing, for sure. I did not have much of a relationship with a higher power before I got here. So it was definitely foreign to me for sure. And I like the bit about the helpful interchange too. When I started listening to A Vision for You, I worked in the evenings, so I wasn't able to get up early and be on live meetings. So I would listen. I listened to both the East Coast and West Coast recordings in the morning. And it was cool. It was like they're definitely different meetings with different voices and stuff. But it's cool to get like to hear both sides. Like there, for me, there was an actual interchange between East and West. And I would sit and listen to all like the New Yorkers and the Bostonians and then listen to Colorado and California and Arizona on the West Coast and all that and get sort of different takes on it, different sides of it, you know? We have this really cool opportunity today for an extreme amount of interchange, if you will, because of our virtual meeting. So anyway, that's all I got this morning. I pass.
Thank you, Jordanelle, for getting us started. So I'm just going to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 162, the first paragraph. Every few days, it ends with this helpful interchange. And who would like to share this morning? But before I take names, I just want to remind everybody that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share this today, their experience, strength, and hope. And we appreciate your cooperation. Who would like to share this morning?
Cynthia W.
Okay, I think I heard a Cynthia C.
Yes. Heather W.
And was that Leslie W.?
Heather W.
Heather W. Okay, gotcha, Heather.
Liz S.
Liz S.
Alice A.
Alice A. I can take one more. Who would like to step up? Alice, we've got Cynthia C., Heather W., Liz S., Alice A. Anyone to jump in this round?
Veronica B.
Veronica B. Okay, Veronica. All right. Okay, so Cynthia, you're up. Cynthia C., you're up, followed by Heather W. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. Thank you so much, moderator, for your service and for everybody for making this meeting happen. This is Cynthia C. from the Boston area. So cutting over time zones, I guess. I'm so unbelievably grateful to be on this call, and my spirit just got lifted being on here. I had a really roller coastery day yesterday with some real highs, reaching out to make an amend that I've been holding on to for a really long time, because it was never the right time to do it. And I got a message really from my higher power yesterday. It was the time to make that amend, you know. And then a challenge at work, and I just think, you know, we come together and we support each other. And, you know, the gift that I have today is that I have all of you, you know, and there was something I wanted to focus on. I forgot what my focus was on this, but oh, willingness. You know, I was in relapse for 20 years. I wasn't willing. I had excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse why this program wasn't right for me. I was going to have to drive too far to meetings. I was going to, you know, I was going to have to let go of food. I didn't want to let go of it. How could I do that? And I can't live like, who knows? You know, my kids were too young. They needed me too much. I couldn't be out of the house. And then, you know, when I finally got this message from my higher power, it was time to come back. The meeting was 4 blocks from my house. My kids were set. My triplets were 17 years old. They did not need me at home. When the willingness comes, it comes. And I had to really pray about it. You know, and I think, you know, for the willingness on a daily basis, I pray to my higher power to grant me the willingness just to be willing, the willingness to be willing, the willingness to take whatever step my higher power thinks I should be taking at that moment, the willingness to accept life on life's terms. And there was a lot of, you know, I did a lot of 10 steps yesterday and already this morning because there was an issue that came, there was a really serious issue that came up at work yesterday. And I know if I can pray for the willingness that I can see the situation from a very different perspective when I do my 10 steps and I let go. And I think also when I sponsor people or work with other people, you know, I am not responsible for somebody else's recovery or abstinence. You know, we all have to be willing. And I've noticed that when I work with people who aren't really willing, then there's excuse after excuse. And I get that. I get that. But for those people who are willing to go to any length, those people who really want it, they do it. It's not like they're always doing everything I suggest to them. But my job as a sponsor, my job as simply a fellow in recovery is to only share my experience, strength, and hope. As the big book says, I don't know what's best for myself, so I don't know what's best for anyone else. And all I can do is share where I got my willingness from, what I do on a daily basis to work the 12 steps of this program. Thank you so much. With that, I pass. Have a great weekend, everyone. So glad to be here.
Thank you, Cynthia C. Heather W., you're up, followed by Liz S. Good morning, Heather.
Hey, everyone. Good morning. This is Heather W., recovered here in Baltimore. Just feeling very grateful and inspired this morning, you know. And so grateful that I no longer, you know, wake up with a food hangover or wake up, you know, saying, oh, why did I eat that? And I'm going to start the diet today. You know, just so grateful. And this program has given me that. So just praise God. And I like how it starts. You know, it says every few days this doctor suggests our approach to one of his patients. So that shows me if the doctor is able to suggest this every few days, that just tells me how many people, you know, are out there that need this. And that we need to make sure we're recovered and that our program is on lock. So when those people come in and they find us, we're ready to, you know, grab them and be able to share what we have. But of course, as has been shared on, we can only share what we have if people are willing to receive it. I can't give you anything if your hands are closed, you know, but if your hands are open, I will do everything I can to pass to you what I got. And if your hands are closed, then I have to go find the people whose hands are open. I mean, it's just so important for me to remember that as a sponsor and when I'm working with others. And then, yeah, you know, that's all the 12 steps. It says many of us former patients go there to help. So just remember step 12 and that importance of working with others. You know, I make sure and tell my sponsors when they're on step 12 and they're ready. You know, step 12 is not negotiable. You don't have a choice. It's mandatory. If you want this, we have to be working with others, sponsoring, taking people through the steps in this book, that intensive work. And then, you know, I'm someone who has been in OA on the East and West Coast. I started program in Miami. Then I went back to Washington State to go to school. And so I did OA in Washington State for years. And now I live in Baltimore, you know. And compulsive eaters are the same, you know, everywhere. And it's just beautiful. I've gone to meetings all over. And, you know, just like this fellowship can go east to west, I've done 10 steps with people who live in England or Ireland, you know, all over. Just like this program is global, I have to remember my disease is global too, because my disease will tell me, oh, well, you know, you're going here, so it's okay. Or, well, you're in Florida, you're on vacation, you're on the beach, so you can eat it. No. Doesn't matter where I am, what time zone, whatever the case. My geographical location never matters. I have this disease, and I always have to stay vigilant on that. But when I do that, I am able to enjoy such freedom, such freedom, just complete neutrality. Those 10-step promises are real, and I'm so grateful for that. So thank you all for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Heather W. Liz S., you're up, followed by Alice A. Good morning, Liz S.
Good morning. It's Liz S., recovered in New Hampshire. And what really struck me immediately about this paragraph is I consider the beloved Dr. Silkworth, because I think of the doctor's opinion and how many lives I truly believe that his pages have saved, by being able to be humble as a doctor and to tell the truth about what this disease is. you know, the phenomenon of craving, even touching on the mental obsession, and that entire abstinence is really the only answer. And I think without those components, without those things, a lot of alcoholics would have died, and I don't know that any of us, you know, would have been fortunate enough to have that information. So when I hear, you know, every few days this doctor suggests our approach to one of his patients, that to me is phenomenal, because there's so many doctors today who don't even know that our disease exists. They know about alcoholism, but they don't know so much about eating disorders. And I think, too, that to be able to select those who are willing and able to recover on a you know, spiritual basis, and then have those people go out and talk to other patients. I just, you know, this was written in, what, the late 1930s. It's a miracle to me to think of a doctor doing this, but knowing that this is going to help others. And that I find just astonishing. And I love this man, you know, in a way that I can only love him through the work that he did, through the work that he was willing to do. And so that the doctor's opinion is very, very important to me in my life. And sometimes I just go back and reread it to be reminded that what I must do on a daily basis. And two, to read this paragraph and also be reminded that I'm not alone. There are people around me at a phone call away, at any distance, at any hour of the day, who can support me in what I must do. And when I think of willingness, I go one step farther and remember I have to be ready as well, because I can be willing. And for instance, I use the analogy, I can be willing to walk my dog and sit on my couch all day. When I'm ready, I get off the couch, I put on the leash, and I get out the door. And that's sort of the way I have to be. I have to be ready to do the work, to get off the couch, get my dog out the door. That's sort of the way I think of it. I have to be ready at all times to work my program, to do what is necessary, to stay abstinent, and to just always keep that in mind. Because willingness, for me, can keep me in a very stagnant state of mind. Thank you. Readiness is what gets me going. Thank you for your service, and thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Liz F. Alice A., you're up, followed by Veronica B. Good morning, Alice A.
Good morning. This is Alice A. from Alabama. I think the very first sentence on there really struck me, that every few days this doctor suggests our approach to one of his patients, and then it goes on to say, selecting those who are willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis. And I believe it was yesterday or sometime earlier, someone said that Dr. Silkworth was really putting his reputation on the line, talking about the alcoholic and how for some, only a spiritual change would help them recover. Because I think many people at this time still believed that the alcoholic just did not want to manage his life. And Dr. Silkworth was ahead of his time and knew for many that this was the only thing that would save their life. And I can remember many people telling me, if you just push away from the table to lose weight. Yes, I've done that, and I've done many other diets, and maybe for a short time they worked, but that darn mental twist that tells you everything will be okay if you just had something to eat, it wins out every time. And then starts the cycle of the binge and the diet until you feel you just can't keep on living like this. Hopefully, if you've reached your bottom, you can find OA. It's not easy then. I talk to so many people on the line who've had relapse after relapse, but they still know this is their only hope. And I think we're so lucky to have these OA phone meetings, especially during this pandemic. Recently, there was an article in the New York Times about people who have eating disorders and how they're having so much trouble with isolation. I feel thankful that I have a place that I can go with these phone meetings where I can listen to people share, and I'm with people who have the same problems as I do and are working the solution. Thank you, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Alice A. And before we hear from Veronica B., I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 162, the first paragraph, every few days. It ends with this helpful interchange, and that's in a vision for you. And I'll take more names after Veronica B. shares. Good morning, Veronica. Star one to unmute, please.
Good morning. I'm Veronica, and I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. And I just want to thank you for calling on me and pitch gratitude. And, you know, this morning I woke up feeling, oh, it's going to be a heavy day today. I have so much responsibilities today. I don't want to show up for any of it. And then the minute I got on this call and I heard your guys' enthusiastic, cheerful, joyful voices, you know, that was God speaking to me through your guys' energy, your enthusiasm for life, you know, and it just quickly shifted my thinking. I instantly shifted. This is why I really love, you know, where it says fast friendships, helpfulness to one another. When I am down, you guys lift me up, you know, and vice versa. When I am up, I will lift someone else up. You know, that's kind of the link in the chain, you know. And I am so grateful to be abstinent and Overeaters Anonymous and know what the solution is today. And, you know, I ate and threw up for 15 years. I could not stop eating and throwing up. You know, it was my solution for a very long time until I finally was willing to tell one other human being my big secret. You know, my doctor, that I couldn't stop throwing up because I started having problems with my esophagus. And, you know, and then she told me how dangerous it was for me. And thus, you know, shortly thereafter, I came into the rooms of, you know, Overeaters Anonymous. And by the grace of God, you know, I hadn't thrown up since July of 2009. You know, but my food, you know, hasn't always been, you know, squeaky sober. And so recently I discovered vision. And let me tell you, your messages have depth and weight. And that's what I need. This compulsive overeating needs a message that has depth and weight. And so I recommitted and doing the steps out of the big book. I am so excited. I am so on fire for my life, for Overeaters Anonymous, for this new opportunity to get a whole new spiritual awakening. And I love the willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis. And for me, it was said earlier, like, I have to be ready, you know. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. You know, I love that saying because that was true for me. And by the grace of God, you know, my food is sober and I just feel so uplifted and really, really grateful that it starts with me. You know, I have to make the conscious decision daily surrenders and it's just such a beautiful program, and I feel so close to my higher power, and because he has all power, but I must seek him. I must seek him throughout the day, multiple times a day. So thank you. Be blessed. Have a wonderful weekend.
And thank you, Veronica B. Glad you're here this morning. Okay, so we're on page 162, the first paragraph. And just want to remind everybody that although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order for others might share their experience too. And so we thank you for your cooperation. So who would like to share this morning?
Pam.
Charles H.
Reva.
Julie
E.B. Julia F. in Florida. Reva
okay,
G.
Hold on. Charles H., I heard Julie E.B. I heard somebody from Florida.
Pia S.
Is that Pia S.?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha, Pia S.
Did you get me? It's Pam M.
I did. You were first, Pam.
Okay, cool.
Reva G. Reva
oh,
G.
Oh, that's who I heard.
Me?
Is that Reva T?
Yeah, Reva G. G
Reva
is in Georgia.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
And I can take one more. The water's warm. Jump on in. I can take one more.
Mary G.
Is that Terry G?
Mary.
Mary G. Gotcha, Mary. All right. Okay. So here's who I have. Pam M., Charles H., Julie E.B., Pia S., Reva G., and Mary G. All right. Good morning, Pam. You'll be followed by Charles H. Good morning, Pam.
Blessed morning again, everyone. Pam in upstate New York. So I the first vision call that I ever made it to, we were right around here. We were reading the last paragraph on page 164, and we were about to start reading from the beginning again. And I thought, oh my God, look at that. I felt like my higher power had made a commitment for me. So if you're just starting off here, this is a perfect time to start. We're going to start from the beginning again and get to hear these words of recovery from the get-go. I'm so grateful for this meeting, and I'm really grateful for the fast friends and the helpfulness that I have received from being on the line, on the vision line. I have some friends and relationships in my face-to-face meeting, but nothing like what I've developed through this phone line, and the voices of recovery have been so important. That's what I hear most strongly for me, is that the importance of developing a fellowship and the importance of having these meetings with one another. And I'm not sure where it says it, if it even says it in the big book, but I heard a long time ago that if there's more than one addict in the room, you're having a meeting. You can have a meeting. So I do feel like every time I'm on the line with anyone, that we are having a meeting, whether it's talking about the big book or working our 10th step or doing a nightly review together or having a conversation with my sponsor or my sponsee. It's you know, little meetings throughout the day that keep me recovered and keep me focused on the outcome, which is the spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps. The result is the spiritual awakening. And it's so beautiful. I can't believe I'm the same person. I don't look the same. I don't talk the same. I don't feel the same. And I'm so grateful. And I'm going to pass and let Charles H. come through. Thank you. Have a blessed day, everyone.
Well, thank you, Pam M. And Charles H., you're up, followed by Julie E. B. Good morning, Charles.
Well, thank you, Sherry KB, for your wonderful service. It's beautiful to hear you on a Friday morning. So this paragraph is so enriched with jewels, right? And it says, you know, there are the same fast friendships. There is same helpfulness to one another as you find among our Western friends. And also I want to drill down where it says Dr. Silkworth can select it. He could select it with an eye to select those who are willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis. You know, this shows me if I step on the neck, I can put my knee on the neck of the disease when I forgive. When I forgive everything to the best of my ability. 10 and 11 is so intertwined. I got people that say they're my sponsees, but they don't call. So I got a slot available, and you can look me up, get my number. But that's we're overly excited to help somebody else, right? Dr. Silkworth was such a I don't know if he'd be a great sponsor. He'd be a great liaison to be like, all right, Charles or Sherry, take this one. This one's ready. He could do it with an eye. He's seen over 50,000 alcoholics come in and out of the Charlestown Hospital, right? And you know, he really stuck his neck out prior to the first 15 editions to this big book. On the 16th, I don't know if it was the date, but on the 16th one, printing rather, the 16th printing. He said, all right, go ahead, put my name. I'll sign the check. I'm going to sign it. He signed the check. So he could do it with an eye. And thank God I can't do it with an eye, right? Because those people that don't make it, I used to be one of those people. I used to hate the 10-step. Today I run like hell towards the 10-step. There's people that accuse me of so much things that I forgive them. So the rate of my forgiveness is the rate that I destroy this disease, and the disease is in my mind. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Charles H. Julie E.B., you're up, followed by Tia S. Good morning, Julie. Julie E.B., star one to unmute, please.
Good morning. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs. I'm just so moved by this. We go there to help. There's informal meetings. We can see scores of people, fast friendships, helpfulness. This becomes an outgrowth. For me, you guys, who you are, just by being on this line, you're helping me practice. You're helping me to wait my turn to speak, and you're helping me listen better and more closely, and you're helping me get down to the real stuff in life. There's a helpfulness to one another that's an essential part of this community we're building. If I'm making an argument, if I'm still spinning in the disease, I really can't help anyone. All I can do is just tread water. And so I'm really glad that there's so much travel in this meeting between East and West, and that this word help is in there over and over. I used to think it was all about the miracles, grandiose thinking, amazing things happen, or that I couldn't do anything. But today I just want to try and help as each situation comes up. And that kind of life sounded boring to me at one time, the routines of my recovery and my life. But today it is a blessed, sweet relief. So if you're in the food, we just love to help. I'd love to help. And this community is here for help. Let's stay focused in that. Thanks.
Thank you, Julie B. Pia S., you're up, followed by Reva G. Good morning, Pia.
Thank you, Sherry. This is Pia S. In Florida, and I'm in recovery today, and I'm so grateful for being here. And this paragraph means a lot to me, being a foreigner in this country, coming from Norway, and just seeing how difficult it can be to make friends, new friends. But when I found program, I got friends so fast. And it's just amazing how these friends have helped me so much being here and at times feeling, lonely. And then being able to travel back to Norway, I have done a lot of traveling between East and West, and able to go there. And I see now that there's a lot of people that are reaching out, like because of this pandemic, there are more people coming together. This program is more available. And I think that's amazing. And I hope that, people around the world are able to find this meeting because it's been so powerful, or it is so powerful, and it's really helped me tremendously. And I've been through relapse, and I see, I'm coming back, and I want this recovery. I want to recover on the spiritual basis, and I'm doing this with you guys, and I just feel that God is definitely present in my life. And I take him with me when I'm traveling. And I've been to LA, to Colorado, to New Jersey. I'm seeing all of these wonderful friends in that I have in program, and I'm so grateful for that. Like my American friends are they're just amazing now. So I'm just so grateful. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Pia S. Reva G., you're up, followed by Mary G.
This is Reva G., in Brooklyn, New York. I'd like to say that on Monday, I shall celebrate 22 years back to back. And I've been in the program for, say, approximately 42 years. And the first 20 years, I did nothing but relapse. And since beginning into the Big Book over and over again, I realized from what the Big Book says that I cannot expect myself to sit down at a table and spontaneously choose the right foods. It says that on page 24 in the italics. It says that alcoholics have lost the power of choice. So I cannot do what an alcoholic can do. I cannot put food down completely. And the Big Book also tells me that there is no way that I could possibly handle my substance and moderate it at the same time. Yet, for the first 20 years, that's exactly what I was trying to do, sit down at a table and be able to make the right choices because I had written it down on the paper and turned it over to a sponsor. I had come to a point of total defeat with doing that in that 20 years, and I'm very grateful that that was what I actually experienced, because there's the first step, that I was powerless. I was powerless even if I wrote it down, even if I told it to a sponsor. If the food called me, I was going, and I was binging, and that's the way it was going to be. And then I hit a bottom, but I never again wrote down the food plan the same way. What I did before I wrote down the food plan, at the top of the page, I wrote, God, I can't do this if I write it down. I can't do it if I turn it over. I can't do it unless you carry me. I will do everything I can to follow this food plan, but I can only do it if you please carry me. And it was like I was screaming that on the inside. Please, please help me. And then I'd write it down and turn it over. And I'm very happy to say that here is 22 years later, I am still doing a food plan. I'm not writing it down. I'm not turning it over. I don't need to write it down. I have a template in my brain, in my head, in my heart. And that's what I've been doing for 22 years, nonstop, no problem, no sweat. I am really so grateful, I cannot tell you. But I do believe that we in OA need to find a way to help newcomers who are struggling the way I did. We can't expect them to sit down, follow a food plan, because that's just what a dieter does. And it's failed me, and I know that it fails for many others. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you, Rita D., and happy birthday. Wow. Woohoo! All
yes,
right.
Thank you.
Mary D.,
you're
up, and we might be able to have room for some more. Mary D., you're up.
Hi. Thank you, Sherry, for your service and for all those who have helped this meeting. And I'm Mary G. from Arizona. And the sentence that struck out to me at first was, understanding our work, the doctor can do this with an eye to selecting those who are willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis. I've actually had my primary care doctor ask me if she could, you know, refer patients to me, and I've given her my number. And, you know, it's interesting because every now and then she will say, did you ever get a call? And she won't ask from who. I mean, she won't break their anonymity, but, and I'll say no, not that I'm aware of. And, you know, she looks so disappointed. And, you know, for me, I always have to let go and remember that, you know, I wasn't ready to do this at the beginning. I spent 17 years in the rooms just trying to do it my way. I wanted a spiritual basis, but, you know, my arrogance thought that I already knew what that meant. So I wasn't willing to do anything to change. I didn't really see that in order to recover, I had to have that complete personality change. I just didn't understand that. And, you know, once I was able to receive that message and to receive the help that I needed to work these steps and actually understand how to work them in my life, you know, the line that just strikes me then is these fast friendships, and there is the same helpfulness to one another. I have always thought of my fellowship of people that I call or make outreach calls to as my network, you know, my safety net, that they're going to catch me when my crazy thinking starts thinking, well, I think this time it'll be different. You know, I think this time I can do it. I always tell my sponsees, you know, when they ask why I have to do phone calls, I say, well, you know, mainly because you can't talk yourself out of compulsively eating, but maybe someone else could. You know, and again, it's always that decision to me, do I really want to stop? And it kind of made me laugh when I thought, you know, the East and West, you know, and they're talking about two cities that I would consider both in the East now. And yet I think of the East and West, and I see this whole global network. And it's just amazing. When I lived in Argentina, I was able to take those apostles and take them to Argentina and work there. Unfortunately, there was no meeting in our little village that we were at. But I could still read the literature, and I had I was living with someone who was in another 12-step program, so we had meetings. And, you know, friends of Bill W. are just as powerful as somebody in OA. The message is the same, and as long as I can apply it. And so I'm so grateful for the fellowship for all of us that are here today, and thank you all for your service. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Mary G. So I have time for one more share for about 2 minutes. Who would like to take that? Who'd like to jump in?
Linda P.
Linda P. Go ahead, please, Linda. Hello? Linda?
Hi, yeah, I'm here. Let me get on the speaker. Okay. Thank you so much. It's been great listening. Today I've learned a lot, and when I first was listening to the reading, the very beginning part where the doctor was, you know, was able to look for people who were looking for spiritual, could accept a spiritual solution, and I was thinking, wow, I was not looking for a spiritual solution. I was just desperate. Then I thought, well, maybe that's really what the doctor was perceiving, is the people who were desperate, they had given up, they weren't fighting anymore, and they were just willing, you know, they were just willing. And that made more sense to me. And it reminded me also of a doctor that wasn't a doctor, it was a therapist that I had seen, and I came into the office, I was wearing really big clothes. My face was broken out. I was so hungover, and he just looked at me and said, "What's wrong with you?" You know, he pointed to my face, and I remember the shame that I felt. You know, and I was hiding. You know, he had done this whole intake on what I ate and what I was doing, and you know how much I drank, and everything was a lie. I felt such shame about the disease. And here now, I feel like, God, it's such a gift. You know, it's given me a completely different life. And the friendliness that I find in Vision for You and the helpfulness and the recovery is just astounding. And I feel, you know, very grateful to be recovered and to be working this program. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Linda C., and thank you all for your shares this morning. So grateful for all of you on the line. So glad you're here, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. Welcome home. So that's all the time we have today, and I want to thank Team Friday for their shares and their service. Absolutely. So now we're going to have Julie E.B. Read for us before we close. On page 164, please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we will do that with the Serenity Prayer. Julie, good morning.
Hi, this is Julie E.B. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us.
Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until